America should be grateful to God for the blessings he's given us.
Don't let anyone tell you that America's best days are behind her.
We have got to fight for this nation because I believe with all my heart this nation is in fact one nation under God.
Hey, welcome back. Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. It's great to be here. I'm standing for a minute. My back's killing me. But I want you to check our commentary section because I added something on the sell list just now. Now, it has never been on my buy list. So not a big deal because it's never been on my buy list. So I have to believe, right? Nobody owns it. But just in case you were one of those people that have gone to the broad list and purchased this, it's an energy stock, I just now put it on my buy list, or sell list. So I just call your attention to it so that you can check that out. Again, shouldn't be a big deal because I don't expect you've ever owned it, but it's one of those stocks that I used to think was going to be right for a merger or an acquisition of some sort, and that does not look to be the case. I don't know if they're going to make it. It's a microcap. I said in my commentary, and I've been saying, that we are living in an environment where you got to understand when we look at some of these energy companies, a lot of these energy companies, particularly those that have been dealing in both oil and not gas, and they're small or micro cap companies, chances are they've got a fair amount of debt and it's going to be very hard for them to survive. So I want you to be aware of that and understanding of that. I know some of them, not many, there may be one or two, because of a limited partnership kind of arrangement that they might pay a decent dividend. But if they're a small micro cap, you really got to think twice about having those and keeping those. It's really a concern of mine, and it's something that I want you all to be aware of. We are going to see, we have already seen so far this year, energy companies, as far as what has happened with bankruptcies, increase dramatically, these bankruptcies. It isn't going to stop. If we start looking at a prolonged period of time of $50 a barrel, it may just be the straw that is going to break the camel's back. And we need to be very conscious of that as we think about moving forward. We've got to be conscious of that. And we see, you know, we're not likely to see many more rigs come online. We should be getting the inventory numbers out here at 10:15, I believe. The inventory numbers will be out. I'm not sure whether they're going to be API inventory numbers or they're going to be EIA inventory numbers. If they're EIA inventory numbers, I'm not so sure I care much about the numbers. I mean, in the sense that I'm not going to be that overly concerned about it if they're not EIA. But we'll see what inventory is. Remember last week when I gave the inventory numbers down, oil was down 10 million barrels of inventory. Gasoline inventories were down just over 2 million barrels last week. And I said it's going to be very interesting to see what this week's inventory numbers are, because this week's inventory numbers will take into consideration the really last holiday weekend, the end of the summer driving season. So it's going to take into consideration this end of the summer driving season. So it'll be interesting to see how that shakes up. I also want to mention to you something that Mike said from Ohio. Was it Mike? I think, from Ohio last segment. And he said he appreciated the ministry so much, and he went on to talk about preborn and what we have done here. You know, if you are part of the Financial Issues family, if you're a part of the family, do you know that you have saved thousands and have participated with us to save countless lives? We have saved tens of thousands of babies. It's amazing. And when we think about how God has raised up and used the megaphone that he has given us here at Financial Issues, he's raised up this megaphone, 660 stations. I think we actually have more than that. I saw an email flying between a couple of people in the organization indicating that we've added some stations that aren't on the list. I don't know what they are. Maybe it's more than 660 or whatever it is. But he continues to raise up a megaphone. And I believe it's so that we can come along organizations like Preborn. We want, and that's the other thing. I talk about $20 a month to Financial Issues. Not if it's going to impact. Not if it's going to impact what you give the Preborn. They're doing, you know, an amazing work. So I want you to think about that as well. Okay, here comes our ag report. Very important as we see what commodities are doing. Here's Craig Haugard. I'll be right back.
This is Craig Haugard with your Financial Issues Ag Update. Corn traded lower yesterday on a lack of supportive news after the long weekend. Corn managed to break life of contract lows set back in May and closed below those lows. Poor weekly export inspections of 14 million bushels helped pressure the market, as did the U.S. dollar, which is the highest it's been since May of 2017. After the close, the crop progress report showed corn crop conditions up 1% at 58% good to excellent. The crop is still lagging in maturity, with 6% of the crop currently mature versus 20% last year in the five-year average of 13%. As I record this, the overnight spot corn futures are trading a penny higher. Beans traded lower most of the day before coming back to close nearly unchanged. The early weakness was related to the implementation of additional tariffs between the U.S. and China. Weekly export inspections were a very positive surprise as they came in at better than expected 47.1 million bushels. The crop progress report showed conditions unchanged at 55% good to excellent. 86% of the crop is setting pods, which lags the five-year average for this date of 96%. In the overnight trade, spot soybean futures are trading 2 cents higher. The wheat market suffered yesterday, with Kansas City and Minneapolis wheat setting fresh contract lows. The weakness in the wheat comes as harvest continues to add to large stocks and demand remains poor. Weekly export inspections were at the low end of trade expectations as they came in at 19.3 million bushels. The crop progress report showed spring wheat at 55% harvested, and that was up from 38% a week ago. In the overnight trade, Chicago, Kansas City, and Minneapolis are all bouncing up a little bit and all trading 4 cents higher as I record this. Cotton futures continue to trade in a painfully narrow trading range. Yesterday saw the December futures close up 3 points as they settle at 58.86. After the close, the crop progress report shows bulls opening on 36% of the crop, with 48% of the crop rated as good to excellent. That was an improvement of 5% over the previous week. In the overnight trade, spot futures are trading 60 points higher. Livestock futures were higher straight across the board on Tuesday. October live cattle were up 35 cents, while the October feeder cattle futures were $1.30 higher. Lean hog futures had a huge day, with October futures up the $3 limit. Still be trading with a $4.50 limit in today's trade. Class 3 milk futures had another solid performance, with September futures up 10 points as they closed at 17.72. In the overnight trade, we have spot futures trading an additional point higher. The cash livestock markets had a mixed session to kick off the short week. The day ended with choice beef boxes $1.11 lower as they settled at $2.30.66, while selects were 65 cents lower for the day as they closed at $2.11.62. Pork carcass values, on the other hand, had a very good session as they finished the day $2.29 higher as they settled at $74.60 per hundredweight. This has been Craig Haugard with your Financial Issues Ag Update. We'll be right back with more Financial Issues after this.
All right. Welcome back to Financial Issues. Welcome back. Got a cough drop. Welcome back. Glad you're here. All the indices in positive territory right now are pretty lost a lot. I mean, they're way down from where they were. They look like they're drifting off in kind of a consistent way, continuing to drop. The reason why they jumped so the headlines are saying was because of Hong Kong and what happened. Hong Kong finishing the day, I think, up 200 points. So pretty significant. And I don't think it had anything to do with Hong Kong, to be honest with you. Yes, it's a geopolitical event. It's a geopolitical event that maybe has gotten a little bit better. It's not so bad and so on and so forth. But I don't think it was a big thing. Ian, did we get EIA numbers? Okay, we're still, 10:30. Okay, I'm sorry. So I've been saying 10:15. So we'll see what that looks like. Anyway, EIA numbers, as soon as they come out, we'll get those to you. We do want to get the phone, 610-363-1110, 610-363-1110. And before that, I was talking about Mike from Ohio and just mentioning Preborn and what a blessing it has been to be a part of that ministry. And I'll tell you, the relationship between Financial Issues and Preborn was providential. And though we were probably one of the first real true radio relationships and relationships that Preborn had, now they have moved on to many others. And so I don't know that we are a driving force anymore behind Preborn, but we still do want to maintain a partnership of some sort with them, and hopefully that we continue to do so. And it has been a blessing to the heavens, in my opinion. I think it has been just a glorious work of God that we have been allowed to participate in a small way to what Preborn is doing in saving the lives of babies around this country. And our goal originally with Preborn was to make it a household name among evangelical Christians in the country. And that was our goal. I believe that was the Lord's goal. And we have accomplished that. We have done that. And I'm so grateful. So if it were all over tomorrow with Preborn, it certainly would be a wonderful thing of what we accomplished. But we sure are grateful for the relationship that God did. I didn't want to do it. I wish I could say how brilliant I was and it was my idea because I knew it was going to be so good. I didn't. It was my idea that came from my heart in the sense that my heart moved me to even do the vetting and looking into the possibility. But I can't say it was something. As a matter of fact, at one point, I told Dan, after we said we would do it, I told Dan we're not going to do it for one reason or another. But here we are, and we continued. So it has been an amazing work. I want to say thank you to Linda from California and Civil War Buff, my friend. Sure do appreciate, I believe, from Arkansas. Where's Civil War Buff from? I think we know that. But I think Arkansas, but sure do appreciate it. Laura Beth, asking a question. Dan, I'm 31. And I've switched jobs. I have about $75,000 in an old 401k, I assume from the job that you just left, Laura. About half of it is pre-taxed. That would be traditional IRA. And half of it is in a Roth IRA. Should I do a backdoor Roth and convert all of it to the Roth? Or should I roll it over into a separate account? I would roll them both over. I would roll them both over to individual accounts, a traditional and a Roth. Then begin the process somewhere other than the organization, unless it's Fidelity or a brokerage, the organization that the 401k is dealing with, the old company. And then do the back door just gradually as you feel you're willing to pay tax on, begin the process of moving that 50% in the traditional, moving that over into the Roth. And over the next several years, you'll have that moved over into a Roth, and that'll serve you very well. I don't have problem with you doing that at all. I think it's a great idea because you're 31 and the taxes that you pay now, you're probably saving yourself thousands and thousands of dollars, because by the time you retire, that traditional would be worth a fair amount of money. The taxes you will be paying will certainly be a lot higher than you are paying now. So it is, you are saving yourself literally thousands and thousands of dollars by doing it. I think it's a great idea, Laura Beth. I'm glad you're doing it. Marcia is saying, in addition to retirement savings accounts, we have $80,000 from the sale of some property available for investment. Any suggestions? A friend has suggested investing in a particular company that I just put on my list, broad list, not too long ago. It's interesting. The company that, along with Mayo Clinic, has developed a couple of different things. I know the company, and again, this is a company that is on my healthcare broad list. It is not on my buy list. So I'll leave it up. I mean, if you want to invest in it, I don't know whether you're a partner or not, but if you're not a partner and you're not, you know, following necessarily my buy list or anything, you're following your instincts and you want to invest in the company, that's fine. But it is not a company, and I don't know the number of it, unfortunately, off the top of my head, but for everybody listening. But I really like the company. More importantly, yes, I like what they do now, but I really like what they have in the pipeline. One of those things they have in the pipeline, I think, based under some environmental conditions that we are seeing happening right now with young people. Just talked to the news guys this morning about a particular situation that we ought to be, let's do some investigation and do a news report on. Maybe even a long story report on. I think it's that important. Well, it's interesting because this company could play a huge role in something along the same lines because of something they have in the pipeline. So anyway, if you trust your friend and you want to invest in the company, they're biblically responsible. I don't have a problem with that. And they are on my list. So I don't have a problem with them. I've already done my 6 quarters of investigating with them. And hopefully someday in the near future, they'll end up on my buy list. But I'll leave it up to you, since you're not a partner, or I'm assuming you're not, Marcia. I wouldn't have a problem with it. Would I put all $80,000 into it? Not on your life. But only because I don't care how great a company is, how good a company is, it's a huge mistake by putting, you know, all your money into one thing. I don't care what the company is. Now, I don't know if this is all your money. I don't know the situation. I also don't know how old you are. So you might be 30 years old, at which case, it would make a greater case for you putting a significant investment in the company. So hopefully that's helped you. 610-363-1110. 610-363-1110. If you want to call, cue your call up, now's the time to do it. 604-83-1110. It's 610, isn't it? It's not 484. We have two area codes here, folks. So One's 610, one is 484. It's irritating. Actually, we have three because we have 215 still. But anyway, 610, 363, 1110 if you want to queue your call up. 610, 363, 1110. Let me go to Bill in Virginia. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Dan. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you, Bill.
I'm retired, and I'm 73. I'm an income investment. I'm getting the income that I need from the stocks of your recommendation, but I'm overweighted in four sectors, energy, REITs, industrials, and utilities because of chasing returns. So what do I need to do to get it back in balance?
I would gradually start to pull that into balance, maybe with a goal of, you know, by the end of next quarter. But at the same time, you know, I would get started. I would say I would start with energies. So you have energies, utilities, REITs. What was the other?
Industrials.
Yeah. So I'm not overly concerned about the industrials. I'm not overly concerned about the utilities. I am somewhat overly concerned about energy, and I am just even a little less, but still concerned over the REITs. So, and unfortunately, the REITs are probably some of your best returns. But I would like you to, I don't have a problem. When you say overly weighted, are you overly weighted because of one particular stock that you're in those sectors?
No, I have about five or six in those sectors.
Okay, well, that's good. Yeah, I would like for you to gradually start working. The energy sector, I would say look at this any small cap that you might have, which probably isn't very many because they don't pay dividends. But if you have any small cap or micro caps, they would be the first to go. I would say the same with the real estate investment trust. In the real estate investment trust, you might have to look at the underlying symbol in those to get that weighting. But I would start there. I wouldn't be in a panic and I wouldn't have a sense of urgency, but definitely start with those two sectors and get started.
Thank you, Dan.
All right, Bill, God bless you. Thank you. We'll be right back.
I pray that I can be.
I think we've answered all our questions that we had up from Facebook and FISM. So if you want to put your question up, now's the time to do it. We've been getting an unusual amount of, you know, of social media, emails, I'm sorry, email and with questions that I, you know the deal. I try. I wish I could. I love doing it, but I haven't been able to get to so many of those questions. So I know some of you would rather do that then go on the air. I get it. I understand. But I would suggest to you, if you want to get that, your question may, you know, need to be answered in a, you know, in a pretty timely way. And if that's the case, I would love for you to get that question up there, so that we can get a look at it and or on social media now, or call in 610-363-1110. So it'd be a great time for you to cue your question up on that one particular stock. Also, we are likely, folks, to start seeing a number of preferreds being called. And what is going to happen, I'll just give you a idea that those preferreds are going to get called because the rates continue to drop, and the rates have dropped, are going to drop again this month. So what happens is companies say, well, wait a minute, why am I paying 6% return when I can go out and get a commercial loan for this money rather than borrowing it from stockholders and do a whole lot better? So now I was told today that one of the stocks on my preferred list that I don't think a lot of you own, it's FP26, FP26 is being called. I don't have confirmation on that. I hope that is not the case because I have a big position in my IRA in that. So I got to tell you, I'll be honest with you, I didn't think it was ever going to get called. But I felt like it was a really good one to have as far as it not being called. But it looks like rates are getting so low that even they are going to call it. So that's disappointing. Now, there's a lot of you don't own that because I got a lot of email from people that said, well, I'm not buying that. It doesn't have a call date. And it's not going to mature until 2028. And I don't want to be stuck with it. Well, here you are. You could have got some nice income from it and got your money back. But anyway, I'm just hearing. I don't know that. Has not been confirmed. But FP26 is going to be called. Now, let me just remind you, if you have prefers, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to sell it. You don't have what do I have to do? Do I have to sign a paper? You don't have to do anything. If it's being called, it's going to show up in your money market account. So you're going to have whatever money you have invested in that, you're going to have that much more money in your money market account tomorrow, the next day, or whenever it gets called. So you should know that you don't have to do anything. That's one of the things I like about prefers. I don't have to watch them or look at them. If they call it, they call it, and the money shows up in my money market account. And I then know it's been called. So just wanted to throw that out to you. So you know it, you see it, you understand it. FP26, I hear from a listener that it is being called. And I can't verify it. I do not have confirmation that in fact that it is being called. But when I get it, if I remember, I'll try to let you all know. All right, let me go to phones. Go to James. James calling from North Carolina. Hey, James.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm doing well. Thanks, James.
All right. I have $200,000 in cash. Uh-huh. And it's in a 2.7 right now. It's just sitting. Okay. And I'm just wondering some suggestions. You know, I don't really need it. Like I don't got no debt. And I'm just wondering, you got any suggestions what I should do?
Well, how old are you? How far away are you from retirement, James?
I'm 48, and okay. I probably will never completely retire. I'm probably going to work until I can't work no more.
Yeah, that's what I like. Yep. Good.
Get the 1 or 2 day a week, but I'm just going to,
going to keep plugging along. Good for you. Mm-hmm. I think that there's a couple things you could do. You have an opportunity there, maybe where you live, to get some rental property. That's certainly a possibility. I don't know.
I got rental property. I got an income in rental property of $7,000 a month if everything's fully rented.
Okay.
I also have another Vanguard account. Okay. When I used to work for $112,000.
Okay.
I function with the property with $20,000. That's money. I pay my bills out of that, and I also
pay the bills of the property.
All the property, everything on the property, you know, new refrigerators, stoves, and everything.
Right, right.
So that's pretty well where I'm at right now.
Do you not, there's just nothing else out there to buy? Are you not interested in buying any more real estate? or do you want to just diversify?
I don't want to be bothered with no more. If I got any more, I'd want it to be on the upper end. Everything I have, I call it on the lower end, you know, like mobile homes and stuff like that, and trailer parts and stuff.
Right, right.
And I want things on the upper end. I even thought about buying a condo in Myrtle Beach.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's a good idea.
Well, not until after the storm passes anyway. But, yeah, you have experience in rental property. It's something that
lower end.
Lower end, yeah, but I mean, you get the idea that you got to pay certain fees, certain taxes, insurance. You got to fix a refrigerator every once in a while, and those kinds of things. So I only say that to you because knowing that, you understand the income you can get from it as well, and that's a good thing. So, but I like the idea of diversifying. And if you already have a Vanguard account, what you may want to consider is, you know, having a Vanguard brokerage account where you can begin to invest in a few stocks. And at your age, you can get a couple of very strong companies that pay very good dividends and are companies that, you know, will grow in time. You'll get a little income and will grow in time to be a very good value over the next 10, 15, 20 years. And it's something that you might want to consider because it's diversification. So you could get that Vanguard account and expand on that by, again, having a brokerage account. Right now, you probably have some Vanguard mutual funds, I suspect, right?
I'm in the Vanguard 500 right now.
Okay. So, that's okay. And that's something that'll serve you well also. But if you want to switch that over to a Vanguard brokerage account, keep the fund you're in, but put it in a brokerage account, that way, that would give you the flexibility to buy some individual stocks, and it might be something that you want to consider with about, you know, $50,000 to $75,000 of that cash you have, and then another $50,000 doing something that's going to get you a little bit more interest, maybe like Vanguard has a great government, short-term government bond fund. It's called a Ginnie Mae fund, and maybe just park it there, the rest of your money, where you can, over the course of, you know, once it's been there for a year, start to earn a little bit more than you might be earning right now. So I would think about diversifying into a couple of stocks, maybe something in the technology sector, and maybe even something in the industrial side of things that can grow since those stocks are down quite a bit right now.
Okay, well, this is all brand new to me. This is kind of like the next step of my life, getting into the market like this. What do you think about mutual funds for people that are not too knowledgeable?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I like a couple ETFs that are very much like a mutual fund that you could buy at Vanguard. And they're like mutual funds. They'll diversify you. And I would be perfectly okay and think it might be good if it maybe feel a little bit better for you to put that money in two different ETFs. And I would recommend TPHC. That's the symbol, you know, the letters TPHC. And TPLC. And I would think about doing that and forget about it or add to it every once in a while. I think that's going to serve you really well. I like those because they're biblically responsible. Vanguard might not like them much because they want to try to steer you to their funds. But I wouldn't worry about that. I would take a look at that, James. I think that'll help you. We'll be right back, folks, right after this. Thank you, James. I sure appreciate you. God bless.
Opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
Let's get back to phone 610-363-1110. 610-363-1110. Let me go to Joe. Joe's calling us from Texas. Joe, how are you?
I'm doing awesome, Dan, and thank you. I love your passion, and you get an amen over here in Texas in the Houston area. I love the fire that you have. You ignite the fire in me, and I agree with you 100%. Mm. And it's sad to hear that Christians are drinking the Kool-Aid of socialism, and they're not. They're just praying and not taking active participation in fighting everything that this country or politicians are taking our country into. Mm. I believe in the Constitution, and I've taken an oath to defend it against foreign and domestic. Mm. I'm a veteran, and all veterans need to rise up and fight this domestic terrorism.
Amen. Boy, wow, Joe, that is awesome, and I agree with you 100%, man. Amen. Thank you for that. And I don't know if you heard me with Colonel Alan West yesterday, but we started the interview and I said, I don't know about you, Colonel, but when I got out of the military, nobody said to me, hey, forget about that whole Constitution thing and, you know, defending freedom. Forget about all that. That doesn't matter now. You're out. You don't have to worry about it anymore. Nobody ever said that to me. Nobody took back my oath. And we do. I agree with you 100%. You are so right. And we got to stand up and fight. And let me just add one thing from a Christian perspective. You know, I always tell people this, that when the Lord returns, I want to be found with a sword in my hand. I do not want to be found curled up in fetal position somewhere over in the corner. I want to be found with fight in my hands. And, you know, we have got to fight. We're it. We're it. There's nothing else. If you're a Christian, there isn't anything else. We are God's people, and we are instruments of, yes, his love, yes, his peace, and yes, his law and what we need to be defending. We are his instruments. And we got to stand and be prepared, and we've got to be fighting always and put feet to our faith. And too many of us, particularly too many pastors right now, are not doing that. There is definitely a lot of pastors that are, but the remnant is getting smaller and smaller. And maybe that's intentional by God, because we see that all through Scripture, how he reduced the remnant to make sure that the whole world understood that this had to be of God. And the remnant is small and getting smaller, it seems. But we need to stand up. We need to be ready to fight. And, man, I'm with you, Joe. Thank you for that encouragement. Thank you for that encouragement, brother. I appreciate it.
Keep preaching the word, Dan, and stay on top of it.
I'm going to do it, and I hope to see you next time I get out there in Houston area, which is going to be soon. We're going to do a little, we're going to do some town hall meetings with Colonel Alan West. So we're going to get out there to your area. I hope you'll come out. Thanks, Joe.
I would love to. Thank you.
All right. God bless.
God bless.
Great stuff. I appreciate that, Joe. Let me go to David in Texas. Hey, David.
Yes, sir. Dan, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Hey, I had a question concerning CDs.
Okay.
I've had my bankers and DATQ, I don't know if you know who those are.
Uh-huh.
They're telling me the safest place, if you're not in an IRA, is in a CD. It's only collecting, they're only collecting 1.6% interest. I'm 57. I'm just wondering what's your best opinion as far as, you know, having your money, not taking any risk.
Yeah, I mean, everybody is saying that to you is right. I mean, it's the only place you can put your money with no risk and get a little bit. I mean, I would suggest that you look at, first of all, you've got to have $10,000. That's the most you can do. But you got to have at least $10,000 or $5,000, $2,000, whatever you have. But you got to have money in a Christian Community Credit Union CD. It's kind of a no-brainer. It's paying 4%. And you got to take advantage of that 4% CD. Now, it's, you know, a one-time only deal up to $10,000. But I know we have thousands of people around the country that are taking advantage of it. And I'm afraid they're going to stop because so many people are doing it. But, you know, it is, you got to do it. It's up to $10,000. They also have a CD that is flexible. In other words, you can take money out of and things like that, that's paying 2%. So it's kind of a floating, not a floating rate, but you have access to it. It's not locked in. And that's paying 2%. So I would look at laddering out some CDs. I think that the $10,000 for that, any other monies you can look at it, maybe a 2.5, 3-year CD. I don't think there's a problem going out that long with CDs because we're in a falling interest rate environment, not a rising interest rate environment. So you're not going to have interest rate risk. In other words, being locked into something when the interest rate's going up, you're not going to have that risk over the next 3 years. So I would look at getting the highest rate you can for a good term. So you can go to our website at financialissues.org, or you can go to, I don't have the phone number, but you can go to Christian Community Credit Union, and here it is. Do I have it? No, maybe. No, I don't. But I would go to our website and click on Christian Community Credit Union, one of their logos or something there, and you can get information about that CD. But you got to do that. I mean, that's just kind of a great place to start. But everybody's right. It's telling you that the only place that is truly safe is going to be CDs. Everything else is going to have some sort of market risk to it. In other words, you will have a chance, a possibility of, you know, going down, your money going down.
Okay. Did you say that there was a limit? The community,
yeah. So
community credit.
There's only a limit.
I mean a limit. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
A limit. Did you?
Yeah. There's only a limit on the 4% CD.
You can only put 10,000 or more. Is my question?
No, 10,000 or less in that.
So you can't go above 10,000.
Correct. Now, they have other CDs. They have that one that is 2% that's floating. You can put anything you want in that. And they have other CDs you can put any amount you want in that are paying good rates. And so I would go there first and look at their CDs.
And community, Christian Community has been around for a long time.
60 years.
Okay, in other words, they're not going anywhere.
They're not going anywhere. They're one of the largest credit unions in the country. They were started by three or four Baptist preachers 60 years ago. And they're a great, great place to put your CD.
I have one more question, Dan. I don't know if this is a dumb question. I have an opportunity for 20 acres of national lands in Decatur, Texas. The guy's wanting $8,800 an acre, and the bank told me that sounds a little strange because that's awful cheap for that type of land. It doesn't hold water. It's got fence around it, cattle guard. I was told, you know, that you're never gonna run into another deal like this in your lifetime. My question to you, is it good common sense to take out of your retirement to buy land? I mean, my daughter's telling me and my oldest boy's telling me that there's always risk, even concerning, you know, land that you could build hay off of. And, you know, you can do hay and not even end up having to pay taxes on it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you'll have, you know,
well,
just doing hay off of it.
Is the land,
is
that land tillable? Can you grow hay on it or something else?
Yes.
Yes.
But it doesn't have, it doesn't, is it irrigated or it needs to be irrigated?
No, it's sand and dirt. It doesn't have any clay in it. You can grow what you want is what my understanding is.
Yeah.
And the bank's kind of going like, well, you know, that sounds a little, I would check that out is what they're telling me.
Yeah.
But my pastor bought 16 acres right next door. And so, you know, that being said, he's a really good guy, and he's really, really smart when it comes to things like that.
I would check it out, make sure that you don't have to drill too deep to get irrigation, to get water. You need
mineral
to
have right. There's no mineral rights.
Right. Right.
At all.
Yeah. I don't know that I would feel good about it. I would have to do a lot of investigation on it before I would do an investment like that.
Right. And especially taking out of your retirement, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do that. And I definitely wouldn't do that. I wouldn't want you to do that. I also, you know, I don't like I wouldn't want to buy any land that you didn't get the mineral rights on anyway. And that's harder and harder to find in Texas, but you know, you know, it doesn't make good sense. I mean, it would depend on how the mineral rights deed is drawn, because they might not even have to pay you if they run a pipeline through your land. And it's too risky. I wouldn't do it. Thanks,
okay,
David.
Okay, appreciate you, Dan. God bless you, my friend.
Thank you. I'm glad you called. Thank you, David. God bless. Folks, we'll be right back. 610-363-1110. We got another hour left. 610-363-1110. Cue your call up. We're going to stay with calls, 610-363-1110. If you got to leave us, have a great day. God bless. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll see you then. More financial issues right after this.
Jesus said, go sell all that you have, give it to the poor, take up the cross, follow me. It's not your money I want your heart.